Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes in life we just need some hacks to help us through our life, right? I found some hacks this morning that I wanted to just throw out. You can try these out if you want to, see if they work. Here's a good one. You know those little tabs on the top of a soda can? Apparently, if you take those and you loop them in your hanger, you can hang some more stuff just kind of down the line. So there's a hack for you. If you ever walked in the house with just some like dirty shoes, it's just muddy and rainy outside, and you had some dirty shoes, right? Well, you could put a shower cap around your shoes and throw them in your closet, and you won't have to worry about getting mud and dirt everywhere. So you go. There's a life hack for you. Let's see what else. This is a classic. Hang a tennis ball in your garage. So when you drive in, your windshield bumps the tennis ball and you don't run into the wall in front of you. All right. I know some of you have done that. Don't pretend like you haven't. All right. Hey, summer's coming up. Spring break is this week, right? Most likely you're going to get a sunburn, probably, trying to get out there, get a suntan, get all tanned up, right? You'll probably burn. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Just take some used tea bags and apparently it'll make the sunburn go away. Who knew? Who knew? Who knew? All right. How about this one? Let's see. Who's got a scratch on their car? Come on. I know I do. I got some scratches, some dings. Yeah. Walmart, right? Yeah. You could take some nail polish that's pretty close to the color of your car and just go at it. And apparently, make it go away. Make it go away. All right. You can rub some walnuts. Some of you probably know this. This is like a good hack right here. You can take walnuts and you can rub them on a scratch on wood, and it'll actually fill in the scratch and make it look like there's no scratch there. Okay, last one. We got any painters in the house? Who likes to paint? Yeah. Apparently, if you take a rubber band, you put it around the can where the opening is. When you dip your paintbrush in, you can brush the paint off on the rubber band. There you go. So there's some life hacks for you this morning. There's some life hacks. You know what? The most challenging part of life is figuring out how to live. It's figuring out how to live. Imagine for a minute that you need some advice, and you walk into the room, and in that room you have three friends. I got three friends with me this morning. You have your friend Proverbs, your friend Ecclesiastes, and your friend Job. Okay? And you need some advice, and so you walk in and you're like, hey, should I feed my dog? And if so, how much? And Proverbs, being, you know, the good person that she is, jumps in first, and she's like, you know what? If you put food in a bowl, the dog will probably eat. Oh, all right, cool. Thanks, Proverbs. I appreciate that advice. That's really good advice there. Appreciate that. But then Ecclesiastes would jump in. Ecclesiastes would say, well, that's a good thing to do. And you might put food in the bowl, but the dog might not eat it. Or you might put food in the bowl and the dog will eat it, but then he'll still be hungry. You can't really control life, so maybe you should just let the dog do what he wants. Okay, so now I'm confused, right? Because I've got kind of this contradiction going on, and I'm trying to figure things out. And I look over and I notice, oh, my friend Job has just been quiet and patiently waiting to jump in. And my friend Job, I turn to him and he says, well, I had a dog once, and it was a beautiful dog. And I loved this dog. And I fed this dog, and this dog was really healthy. In fact, this dog was so healthy, it even had babies, and they were beautiful dogs, and they ate, and I fed them, and they were good. But then one day I came home, and the dogs were sick, and they were throwing up all over the place. And eventually the mom died, and then the dogs died as well. And I couldn't really figure it out because I love these dogs, and I gave them good food. And I began to wonder, God, why did you let this happen? But I still trusted in God, so it's totally cool. I trusted in him. I said, you know what, God, you are in control of life. You're in control of it all, and so I'm going to trust in you. And a couple weeks later, I come home, and I guess what? I had three new dogs, and everything was good. The most challenging part about life is figuring out how to live. And I want to give you this morning three life hacks that when you apply them to your life, when you try them out, you're going to find that the good life is easier to obtain. All right, so you ready for the first hack? Turn to your neighbor and say, first hack. The first hack comes from our friend Proverbs. Now, Proverbs is the brilliant young teacher. So I'm going to give you some glasses because all brilliant teachers have glasses. All right, so Proverbs is our brilliant teacher, and she is just has incredible insight about how things work in life, how things work in the world. She's smart about everything, about work, about relationship, about spirituality. She's the perfect person for that really specific advice and really wants to help you to live the good life. And so she's got some really great advice for pretty much anything that you can imagine. Now, Proverbs also believes that there's this sort of invisible creative force that guides people. She calls it an attribute of God, and she says that there's this kind of force that when you look at the world, there's something that helps you understand how to live. And in Hebrew, she calls it chokmah. Turn to your neighbor and say, chokmah. You got to really like get that in there, right? In English, we just call it wisdom, okay? So if you can't say chokmah, it's wisdom. And she says, you know, there's this moral law of the universe which anyone can access and anyone can interact with it and anyone can use it to make a beautiful life. But she says it's more than just this intellectual knowledge. She says it's actually more like a skill and a workmanship that when you apply it, you can make your life work for good, or you can make life work for good. But she also says you can't find chokmah on your own. You can't find wisdom on your own. You need God because it's an attribute of God. And so to find and apply wisdom, she says, your journey begins with this fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, this is what she would say. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction or discipline. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, Proverbs would say, in order for you to find wisdom in your life, you've got to have a healthy respect for God's definition of good and evil. You can't just go around life like just applying things that you think are wise and things that you learn in the world. You have to know what God says about good and evil. Says that learning this boundary, knowing where the lines exist between good and evil and not crossing them, was the only way that you can find chokmah. You can go to Proverbs for advice in life, and there you're going to find a plethora of sayings. You can design your life around them, and it will be good. But if you don't have a healthy fear of the Lord, you're going to miss out. But with a healthy fear of the Lord, you can apply wisdom and you can hack your life. That's our first life hack this morning. Apply wisdom. Apply wisdom. So let's look at a few situations in life and let's see if this really holds true. Okay, Proverbs, we're gonna test you out a little bit this morning, okay? All right. So let me ask you this. Have you ever wanted something like really bad in your life? I mean, come on, kids, right? Like youth. You've wanted things, right? You've been like thinking, man, I really want this. I've been asking my parents for it forever. My birthday's coming up. I really, really want this new game. You ever really wanted something in your life, right? Well, here's what Proverbs would say. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Okay, parents, cover your ears because, youth, I'm going to give you a little secret this morning. If you want something in your life, all you have to do is lower your voice and speak calmly. And ask for it. Life hack. All right, so there's one life hack. Parents are like, yeah, that'd probably work. That'd probably work. All right. Let me ask you this. Have you ever binge-watched on like your favorite, not binge-watched, have you ever ate a lot of your favorite food? Like you just can't get enough of that favorite like junk food. It's just so good, right? Only to find out that like, man, an hour into it, your stomach's starting to turn. You're feeling a little sick, right? Yeah, we've all been there. when I was in youth, when this was, I'm not going to say how long ago. When I was in youth, I went on a mission trip to Mexico, and we decided to drive. I don't know why we decided to drive. I guess our youth pastor thought it would be fun to just drive like 20-some hours in a van with a bunch of junior hires and high schoolers. He thought it would be cool to just spend that much time together. It was, I don't really understand it. But we're getting ready to leave, and we're at the church, and we're getting ready to load up. And one of our youth friends who couldn't be there, he decided to come and pray with us as we get ready to leave. And we had this other friend, her name's Jen, and she is a huge fan of gummy bears. How many gummy bear lovers? Yeah, gummy bears, good stuff right there. And she just loved gummy bears. She could just eat gummy bears all the time. And our friend Ben, he knew this, and he was a good friend of both of us. And so he shows up to not only pray with us as we get ready to leave, but he shows up to give her a little gift for her trip. Some gummy bears, that's right. Not just some gummy bears. He decides, I'm going to give her 5 pounds of gummy bears. Okay, mind you, Jen, she's like the size of my wife, Kaylee. All right, she's like smaller than Kaylee, really. She's tiny, y'all. And giving her a big 5-pound bag, this is like just danger in the happening, right? And so we get in the van, you know, and we're like, hey, Jennifer, you probably shouldn't eat those all in one sitting. Like, make that last, like, the entire trip. In fact, probably should leave yourself at least half of that for, like, the return home or something. You know, and she's like, oh, but I love gummy bears. And she starts eating them. And by the time we get to Mexico, the entire bag is gone. And she did not share a single one with any of the other youth. Needless to say, the entire trip, she was just in pain. She was sick. She could not hack it. She was not doing good. This is what Proverbs would say about it. Our friend Proverbs would say, hey, well, if you find honey, eat just enough, because too much of it and you will vomit. So there you go. Hashtag life hack. All right. Sometimes we think our friends want us over all the time. Right? And I'm sure your friends love your company, and I'm sure that they want, you know, to be there, but you don't want to overstay your welcome. Because if you do, how many of you know that sometimes when you spend too much time with your friends, there's conflict and there's annoyances, and sometimes things can get a little messy. Proverbs, our friend Proverbs would say, well, seldom set foot into your neighbor's house, too much of you, and they will hate you. Thanks, Proverbs. Hashtag life hack. It's better to be invited over and welcome than, you know, for someone to be hated. All right. And then here's another one. Let's test out this last one. Proverbs 25, she says, like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. This one makes me laugh, because, I mean, who hasn't been there, right? When we're downhearted and we're just sad, you know what we like to do, right? We like to put on that sad song, don't we? Proverbs says, no, that's just going to make you feel more pain. She says, no, just put on a worship song. Lift up God's voice and you're going to have a great life. Hashtag life hack. Turn to your neighbor and say, hashtag life hack. All right. Listen, this morning, this is just 4 verses from one chapter in some 34 or so chapters in the book of Proverbs of these tons of sayings, and with each one that are embedded. And if we put them into our lives and we apply an appropriate, we have this healthy fear of the Lord, and we apply the chokmah, the wisdom that we can find from our friend Proverbs, then we can have a peaceful and happy life. Sometimes we just need good advice for us to live and to turn our lives around. Sometimes we just need good advice for us to continue living the good life that we're already living. But we can only do it if we apply wisdom with a healthy fear of the Lord. So that's our first hack. Apply wisdom this morning. Apply wisdom. But sometimes the rules of life don't always go as simply as the principles of Proverbs say they should go. Let me introduce you to my friend Ecclesiastes. There you go. Ecclesiastes is our sharp middle-aged critic. Ecclesiastes, he would say, you think applying wisdom will bring you success? You better think again. Ecclesiastes wants us to know that life doesn't always work out the way that we think it should. and there's tension and there's chaos at times, and it's all part of life, and God is the one who's in control of it all. And so to understand where our friend Ecclesiastes, because, you know, critics are really hard to understand sometimes. You read some of those critic views like, where are they coming from? We need to know three themes about our critic this morning. And the first theme is this, that Ecclesiastes would tell us there's something about life, it's called the march of time. He would say in Ecclesiastes 1, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. You know, last week in the young professional small group that Ashley leads, we were talking a little bit about wisdom and about life. And our friend Julia, she reminded us of this illustration, and it's just such a great illustration. And I wanted to kind of just show you that illustration this morning. So I'm going to ask our friend Proverbs, if you'll grab a hold of that and come over to this side of the stage. And I'm going to ask our friend Job over here, if you'll take that and go as far as you can that way and just kind of give it some good tension there, right? And then our friend Ecclesiastes, if you'll just kind of come somewhere close to over here and put your pinky on the line. Put your pinky, I'm going to come over here. All right. Imagine that this rope is life. This is the entire span of eternity. Over here with Proverbs is the beginning, and over here with Job is the end. And really it goes beyond Job, like out the wall, through the next building, into the nursing home, and like way on the other side of the universe, because it just keeps going, because eternity never ends, right? And this is the expanse of life as we know it. And on a cosmic scale, you and I are just a blink, a small little blip of life. And Ecclesiastes, our good critic friend, wants us to know this morning that, hey, you know, there's this idea in life that you are just a small, itty-bitty, teeny-weeny portion in life. He would say that stars are born and stars die. Planets form and they orbit stars, and eventually they burn up. No stars burn up and they go away. But the march of time, time in itself, continues to go on. And he says if there's one thing that's true about life is that you're born and eventually you will die. And in that time of your existence in eternity is but a small portion of the entire span of time. Cool. You guys can just lay that right there and head back over. All right. And so all this activity under the sun, all the things that we have happen, all the things we have the same fate that even animals do. We ourselves will eventually die. What was here before will probably be here after us. It's just how life is, and it's called the march of time, is what Ecclesiastes would say. And the second thing that we have to know about Ecclesiastes to understand how our critic point of view comes forward is that life has a random nature about it. Things don't always work out as defined by Proverbs, these simple little bits of advice. Remember, Ecclesiastes would say, well, the dog would eat and he might be satisfied, or he might eat and still be hungry, or you might put food in the bowl and he might not eat. And so you can't really control life, so why even feed the dog? Because he'll probably just find food on his own. It's that life is just random, and sometimes we don't quite understand it. In fact, Ecclesiastes 9, he puts it like this, to put it into the words of Ecclesiastes, says, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. You can't really control life. It's random at times, and sometimes it feels like we can't control it. But life just has this random nature about it, and things are going to go about the way that life should. So that's the second thing. Life's random nature. We have to understand that. We have to understand there's a march of time, that life has this random nature about it. And the third one is this, and it's Ecclesiastes 1. It says, in this translation, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. The true Hebrew in that would say, hevel, hevel. Everything is utterly hevel. Turn to two people and say, it's just hevel. The third theme that we have to understand about Ecclesiastes is that life is life kind of feels like this hevel. And really, this translation that the NIV gives us, where it says life is meaningless, isn't the proper way that you can understand this word, because the true Hebrew in this word actually means like a vapor or a smoke, okay? And so it's beautiful and it's mysterious, and sometimes things work out the way that they should, and sometimes they don't work out the way that should. But here's the thing about vapor. If you've ever noticed, or if you've ever kind of played with smoke, or you've been going through some fog, if you ever drive through fog, right, it feels like it's tangible, doesn't it? Like you could just reach out and grab a hold of that smoke. But as soon as you do, what happens? It kind of just kind of wisps away. It's just like life. A lot of times things in our life, they feel like they're tangible. We feel like we can grab a hold of life. But when we try to reach out and try to do it, it just kind of gets away from us. So here's what we have to do. We have to understand this with Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes would say this. Ecclesiastes would say, hey, you know what you need to do? You need to just hold life in open hands. Hold it open to the Lord your God and just trust in him. If you'll just hold your life out to God and not worry about trying to grab a hold of the things in your life, because you can't control them anyway. It's just hevel. But if you'll just hold your hand open, life will happen and it will be good. But you got to hold it open to God. So you can spend your whole life working and achieving because you think it makes life meaningful. But you really should stop and consider all of the human effort that takes place in the world, that nothing really ever changes. Sure, we have new technologies and we have nations that rise and nations that fall. But if you go climb a mountain and you ask them about it, the mountain probably wouldn't care, because the mountain has been there and the mountain will be there in the end. Time will eventually erase you and me and everything that is around us. And if that's not disheartening enough, God can't stop talking about death. And he says death is this great equalizer. No matter if you're rich or you're poor, no matter if you are who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter if you're good or if you're bad, we're all going to die and it's inescapable. And so we consider all these activities and all this hope, or these false hopes, and we try to invest our lives into these things, into meaningful things, things like wealth and career or social status or pleasure. We think that working hard is going to get us to where we need to be, but consider this, if you work hard all of your life, you're just going to toil away, and by the time you get rich enough to enjoy it, you're just going to be an old somebody who's super old. I'm trying to say that in the right way. Somebody who's just really who can't enjoy it. You're gonna get to a place in your life where you've just been working hard all of your life and you haven't enjoyed it. You think pleasure is going to make life worth it? Go for it. Live for the vacations. Live for the parties. But you know what? Ecclesiastes would say, Monday will come. And these things will happen in your life. And you know what? This is all really kind of a downer. When we think about it, this march of time and the fact that life is random and that it's just like this smoke, this vapor that's untangible. Ecclesiastes, man, you're kind of harsh in our deal here, man. But you know what God says? God says true enjoyment. If you really want to hack your life, true enjoyment to this is understanding from Ecclesiastes that life is a paradox. That's another translation of that word, hevel. Life is a paradox. It's acknowledging that life doesn't always work out the way that we think it should, and it's totally out of our control because it's under God's control. So the first hack is from our friend Proverbs, the brilliant teacher friend, who says if you'll just find chokmah through a healthy fear of the Lord, you can apply that to your life and things will go according to plan. But our second life hack is our friend, our critic, who from Ecclesiastes, who's like, well, things don't always work out the way that they should. But if you understand that it's a paradox, you can live the good life. And so we turn to our third friend, our friend Job. He already saw me brought this in. He was like, am I going to have to do that? Yeah. For the fun and sake of things. Here you go. Job is our wise and weathered old man. He's wise. He's been through a lot. You know, he understands life because he's been through it all. He knows how things work. He knows where to find wisdom, and he knows how sometimes things don't always work out, but he understands something that we need to apply to do with our lives today if we're really going to live the good life. And we're going to learn this from Job. So let me give you just kind of a quick synopsis. It's a really interesting book. I love the book of Job. This is the crazy thing. Job opens with this like really interesting heavenly scene where God and what's called the sons of man, or these angels, are talking and they're conversating around our man Job. And God is saying great things about Job. God is saying he is a good man. He is an innocent man. He loves me. He fears me. He always knows the right thing to do. And during the conversation comes an opposer. And in the book of Job, it's called the Satan, but it's really more of a translation. The Satan is how you would say it. It really just means someone who is opposed. And begins to question how God is running the world. And he proposes that Job is living the good life only because he understands Proverbs. He knows his friend Proverbs over here. And he knows that if he applies Chokmah to his life, he's going to live a good life. But he also understands Ecclesiastes and the paradox that sometimes life doesn't work out the way that we think it should. And so he's really, really, Job is just hacking the system. And he's only living a good life because God, he knows and understands how to hack the system, and you're rewarding him for it. And so God says, okay, well, what do you want to do? And the Satan says, well, let me have at him for a little while. If I take away all, let me take away all the reward. Let me take away all the good things in his life. And trust me, he's going to despise you. He's going to hate you. He's going to turn from you, and he's not going to praise you anymore. And so God agrees and decides to let this experiment happen. And in the process, if you know the book of Job, you know that he loses everything that he loves. He loses everything that he cares about. But in the midst of it all, he still praises God. Go ahead and lift your hands for us, Job. He praises God. You don't have to hold him up the whole time. Unless you just want to praise God the whole time. It's all good. But then some friends come along. Some friends come along. I need like 3 volunteers who want to be my friends. Come on up. Just the first. Let's do all our youth. Yeah, I got 2 more right here that want to come up. Sarah, Josh, yeah. Y'all just be the 3 friends. Just stand right behind Job. Okay? So in the book of Job, he has some friends that come along. And these friends, man, let me tell you, these are some really, really good friends. Not really. They're not good friends. They begin to question Job and his integrity. And they say things like, you must be getting what you deserve. Surely you have sinned because God is punishing you. Some good friends, right? And they begin to like try to convince him that he should just give up life and he should curse God and he should just tell God that, you know what, I don't need you anymore. Sounds like some friends we might have in our lives, doesn't it? But listen, they go on and on with these things. You must have sinned. You are not worthy enough. You did something wrong, Job. There must be something that you did. But remember, God said that Job was innocent. And this goes on and on and on and on in the book of Job for like 34 chapters. Actually, I forgot to tell you guys that you can pick up your cards. For 34 chapters, they tell him this. But Job's innocent. And Job recognizes something because Job is wise and Job is smart, right? Job knows that, hey, you know what? If I could just get away, if I could just get away from the friends, y'all go over there. If I could just get alone with God, I know that God will explain. I know because I have a trust in God that goes beyond what my friends are trying to put me down in. I know that God is a good God, that he is just and he is fair. And I know that he is great. And if I just trust in him, and if I could just get away from the situation, away from the pain, away from the hurt, away from the situations of life that are trying to tear me down, if I could just get alone with God and trust in him, he's going to explain. And so he does. Job gets alone with God. But here's the crazy thing about God. He didn't explain anything. In fact, he took them through this virtual tour, this virtual exploration of like the entire universe. And he shows Job for like 2 chapters, all the things that he created and how he's in control of all these different things in life, like the birds and how they get fed and the stars and how they are born. And he takes them through all this stuff. And then he asks him a question. He says, "Hey, Job, do you think that you could run all of this with fairness and justice?" And that's how God responds. And so Job kind of gets humble. And he recognizes, you know what? I am not God. I can't do the things that God can do. Because God's perspective is infinitely bigger than my perspective. God is the creator of the universe. He began life, and with him, he is still creating. He made the heavens and the earth, the entire expanse of the universe. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the omnipresent, the omnipotent. He knows all, he sees all, and he is Lord of it all. You see, most people in Job's circumstance would completely break down at this point. They would completely break down emotionally. They would blame, they would curse God, and they would descend into this sort of period of depression. But Job doesn't do that. Job lost everything. But you know what his immediate reaction was? He began to worship God. Go ahead and just worship God right now, Job. He began to, that was his immediate reaction. He didn't blame God. He didn't curse God as his wife suggested that he should do. He didn't listen to his friends over there. His situation was overwhelming. And so you would think that he would have just gave up. But you know what he did? He instantly yielded himself to the one who's in control of it all. He took his circumstances and he gave them to God and he trusted in him. He started with praise. In fact, Job 1:20 says, "At this, Job got up, tore his robes, shaved his head. He fell to the ground in worship, and he ended with prayer. And in the midst of it all, he said in Job 42:2, I know you can do all things." Come on, somebody give praise to God this morning. So our third hack for our life, if we want to live the good life, is we have to trust in God. We got to trust in God. In spite of the hevel, and no matter how much chokmah we apply to our lives, we still have to trust in God. We can have all the proverbs and all the advice that we want. We can understand that life doesn't always work out the way that we want it to, but if we don't trust in God, we will not have a good life. He's the creator of the universe. He's wise. He's just, and he's bigger than we can ever imagine. He understands things on a much greater scale than we can ever do. And if we trust in him, if we be the type of person that no matter what comes in our life, no matter if it's good or if it's bad, we can hack our lives. No matter what life throws at us, if we praise God in the great and we can praise God in the not so great, we don't have to walk around trying to figure out life because we know that we have a Savior that we can trust in. And if we trust in him, he's going to supply all our needs. I should give a hand to my volunteers this morning. You guys can have a seat. 3 life hacks that when you apply them to your life and you apply them together, you can live a good life. See, you can't just apply wisdom into your life. You can't just have chokmah because things, as Ecclesiastes say, aren't always going to work out the way you think they should. And so you got to understand the paradox in life that the march of time will continue on. Sometimes life is going to feel like a fog. It's going to feel heavy. It's going to feel like you don't understand it, like you can't see clearly, but it's okay because there's one who's in control of it all. And when I understand that, I can apply that wisdom and I can understand that he's in control and I can step into this faith and this trust in him to live a good life. If you'll bow your heads this morning, I want to ask you to respond here in just a minute. Maybe you're here this morning and your life is great. Things are going well. You've got wealth. You've got family. You've got friends. It's all good. God is telling you this morning, He's the one that's still in control of it all. He's the one that owns it all. And don't you think for a minute that you can go about life without trusting in Him, because He can take it all away. And God is asking you this morning, maybe you're living a good life. Maybe your life is good. But just like Job, you need to continue to praise God. You need to continue to worship God from the beginning to the end and every moment in between. And so if that's you this morning, you're living a good life, I'm going to ask you in just a minute to respond by coming down to the front and just worship and praise to your Lord. The second response I'm going to ask for this morning is, maybe your life's not going so good. Maybe you're dealing with a situation this morning that you feel like you just can't handle anymore. You've lost everything. You don't know what to do. You haven't been getting any kind of advice. And you're just feeling kind of lost. This morning, God is calling you to these altars to kneel down before the holy God and to trust in Him, because He's the one that's in control of it all. We're just going to take a few minutes. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to come. Whether you're living a good life or you're dealing with some situations, whether you need to praise God, or you need to worship God, or you need to bow down before Him and just trust in Him this morning, I'm going to ask you to come to these altars and spend a few moments with your Lord, the one that's in control of everything, to help you apply wisdom and to understand the paradox and to trust in Him. Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for who You are. And as I pray, church, You can begin to come. Jesus, we thank You for who You are. For who You are as our Lord and our Savior, God. And as we come to these altars this morning, as we come forward and step into Your presence, God, it's us stepping and taking that first step of faith towards You and towards the life that we can live, in a good life. Come on, church, begin to come this morning. Begin to come to these altars this morning. Step out in faith and trust in God and worship Him this morning. Whether you're living a good life or you need to find out how to live. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, figuring out how to live. But God says this morning, if we'll apply wisdom, understand the paradox, and trust in Him, it can be good.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.